Church and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
This is the radio show where we affirm the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. This is Robert Moss. We have a wonderful guest today and a really lively theme. I think we're going to have some fun. The theme is one you might have thought about. You might have had reasons to think about it when you had that shiver of deja vu. You feel you've been somewhere before. You're not quite sure how. Maybe it's come to you from dreams in which you find yourself in a life that is not exactly the life you're living now, or maybe radically different, and the dreams go on, and sometimes you start thinking, wait a minute, am I living a continuous life somewhere else, where I'm still married to that same person, or where I'm in a different body, or a different style of living? It's not hard to think about this. There's a reality, a parallel event track, which you're not listening to this radio show right now. You found something else to do. There's another event track in which you are living somewhere else completely with someone else. So this is our theme, one of our themes, parallel lives, parallel worlds, how we know about them, what importance they might have for us, how we can empower our present life, maybe by understanding more of what's going on in those other lives, not only parallel lives, but past and future lives, and how we can bring it all together. Well, our guest is Christine Upchurch, who has a passion for helping people live with more vital juice and energy. She has many things. She's an energy healer. She has her own wonderful radio show, The Christine Upchurch Show. She helps people follow a roadmap for transformation and revitalizing life. Her own life story is fascinating. She's worked in many fields. She worked in engineering, telecommunications, psychology, medicine. She's designed and analyzed clinical trials and cancer research. She is a wounded healer in the sense she had her own close encounter with bad stuff in a medical situation and bounced back and is therefore well equipped, well qualified by life, by her own survival and regeneration to help others understand how to do that. She also calls herself a spiritual mythbuster, which I love, even though I use the word myth typically in a different sense, which I know Christine appreciates. I use the term myth in the sense of those true stories that are truer than facts, because they may never have happened, but they're always going on. But having read some of her blogs and articles about the kinds of trivial myths that she tries to explode, I appreciate her work in helping us to get our heads straight and not just remain inside a new age soap bubble of misunderstanding. Christine, welcome.
Thank you, Robert. I'm so happy to be here talking to you.
Well, you are a lively spirit. I mean, I've enjoyed being on your show. I've been enjoying discovering that you and I share a passion for several topics, including the one of parallel lives and parallel worlds and all of that. And I'd like to talk about that first. Later on, I want to talk to you about your own experience of healing the body with the mind and how energy works and all of that. But I know that you've had your own experiences in many ways in the midst of waking life, through visions, through synchronicity and other ways, that have given you the sense that you, Christine, might be living in parallel worlds and parallel lives right now. And I'd like you to talk about some of those experiences. Can I hand it to you for a moment to give us one or two of the experiences and impressions that have grown your own interest in this subject, that right now we might be living other lives in the many worlds?
Absolutely, Robert. And it's funny because once upon a time, like when I had my first past life memory, I thought in terms of linear time. So in terms of past lives and future lives, I thought if it relates to this linear thing, you know, one thing happens after another. So the past life memory I had, it was spontaneous before I even knew anything about past lives. It kind of sort of headed me that direction. I came to understand later in a very vivid dream, which involved aliens, type that are called greys, and humans from the future. And one of the things that occurred during this dream was they showed me that time folds over onto itself. So everything is happening simultaneously. So this concept of concurrent lives or parallel lives can relate to the past lives and future lives. If everything is happening simultaneously, then it is a version of a parallel life. However, fast forward probably 20 years, I was about 2005 or 2006, I had another kind of spontaneous vision experience that surprised the heck out of me. Before, people were talking about this concept of parallel lives where there are, say, different timelines where we or somebody like our parents have made different choices, and therefore we're living in a different experience because there are these parallel timelines. So anyway, I was very, very tired, waking up one morning, and it was one of these mornings when I didn't have to get up and go into work. It was the weekend, and so I was sort of taking my time getting out of bed, but then my bladder said, you know, you need to get into the bathroom. So there I am in a sleepy state, and I'm noticing that my chest is feeling a little uncomfortable, like it's got the twinges of a chest cold coming on. And as I'm stumbling my way into the bathroom, I see myself. I'm like looking at myself as Christine Upchurch. And I had moved from Lincoln, Nebraska to the Boston area when I was age 15. But there I was, you know, looking at myself as an adult, Christine Upchurch, sitting at a kitchen table in Lincoln, Nebraska, with a different hairstyle, smoking a cigarette. Now, I've never smoked cigarettes in this life. And I'm looking at her, and in my groggy state, I say to myself, you have to quit smoking because it's affecting my lungs in this reality. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of realize, oh, I can set boundaries between the two lives. And I thought, this is rather strange. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that I started hearing about parallel lives, and it wasn't until maybe a decade later when I had another experience with that life that led me to profound emotional healing.
Yes. Let's pause for a moment. This is fascinating stuff, Christine. I want to hear about the emotional healing very much. But let's comment and discuss a little bit what you've told us so far. The first is a huge discovery, the fundamental discovery. It puts many things in their proper proportion and perspective. It's a discovery that's all going on at the same time. That came to you in a dream. It's fundamental. Once we begin to understand that, then from a certain point of view, if we step outside linear time, which we do in dreaming and can do in other ways, in moments of vision, in moments of inspiration, in moments of spiritual ascension, if we can step out time, then we can see from the perspective of a slightly higher self that all these experiences, all these lives are interrelated right now, and that what happens in one can impact another across time in reverse, as we're going backwards as well as forward, so that if we feel connected to that character from a few centuries ago, our choices now can impact them just as their choices can impact us. And to bring this into clear, focused awareness and operate with something of the perspective of a higher self, a hub personality at the center of a number of these lifetimes, is the birth of a real power for change, a real power for transformation in our lives and the lives of others. I don't think I would have got to this point in my life if I hadn't been able to understand eventually that my intense engagement with a Royal Air Force pilot who was killed in World War II and with an Anglo-Irishman who lived amongst the Mohawk Indians in the 18th century, a life experience is relevant to mine, and that it happened in a historical period, but that my choices now can affect them. not only are their choices then affect me. So that was a huge rebirth and regeneration for me when that understanding came upon me as it came to you. And you've told us another thing. Let's talk briefly about that dozy state when you don't have to rush out the door right away because of external commitments. You're drifting. Yes, you've got to go to the bathroom, and then in the bathroom. The real epiphany, the real showing forth, the real vision manifests itself. But I just want to say, Christine, I'm greatly in favor of that drifty, liminal, borderland state of consciousness, that place between sleep and awake, when we're not entirely in one world or the other. That is a very creative space. It's a space where creative breakthroughs in all fields have always been made. It's a place where our psychic intuition is wildly alive. It's a space from which we can, amongst other things, attain the kind of vision that you got with clarity when you went into the bathroom and you saw that smoking Christine in Lincoln, Nebraska, maybe you're able to do us some good by leaning into her mind and saying, quit it, babe, my chest is hurting, yours will get even worse. I just love that vision of possibilities. So you've already given us, with great clarity, in a very exciting and inspiring and mobilizing way, you've already given us a very practical example of how movement, the communication between one parallel life and another can do some good. In the example you gave us, you're leaning in on the smoking Christine and doing her some good in her parallel life in Lincoln, Nebraska. In another example, you might be able to draw something from a parallel self who has gifts or lessons that you haven't quite mastered, or maybe even if it's a wise parallel self who's even wiser and more active than you, maybe she can lean in on you, Christine, and give you a little bit of a lift. That's possible too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny, I mean, I do love that sleep, wake, you know, that sort of that space in between. You know, I kind of think of it as this, I don't know, it's almost like this limbo of consciousness where you haven't sort of bought into the structure of the waking reality, but you're conscious enough to actually be aware and sort of look at this in-between world. And I've had, you know, multiple experiences in that realm, and I think it's what you teach about this is so wonderful, Robert.
I'm glad we're in firm agreement on this. It's very strange to me that in all the writings on consciousness and all the writings on dreaming and shamanism and all of that, so little attention, so little respect has been paid to this borderland place. I mean, the $5 word for it is the hypnagogic zone, the area of hypnagogia. The phrase I like for it comes from the Disney movie of Peter Pan, where Tinkerbell tries to console Peter Pan when he's unhappy because his fairy friend is going away. And Tinkerbell says to him in the Hollywood script, it's not in the original novel, Tinkerbell says, look for me in the place between sleep and awake. There I will always love you. There you will find me, the place between sleep and awake. It's so simple, it's so magical, and yet it's also so practical. When I studied the history of discoveries and breakthroughs and high creativity, I found again and again that so much was going on, so much was seeded and then manifested from this in-between state of hypnagogia. So you gave us a lovely example in your progress to the bathroom from that dozy state. I think if all of us could just learn to allow ourselves a little bit more drifty time in the morning, and maybe also to allow ourselves to be awake in the middle of the night without being frustrated because we're not getting our Z's or needing to go and turn on TV or something, just give a little time to lie in horizontal meditation, the way I like to describe it, and see what rises and falls. We might get a lot more good stuff. We might find ourselves becoming lucid dreamers without having to work at it. And we might have perceptions of the things that you and I are talking about, like our parallel selves. So, Christine, don't keep us pent up. You said that you had an experience that amounted to emotional healing involving this area. So talk to me about that.
You bet. You know, it's funny because that experience happened to me before people were really talking about this scientific theory that there's some support for, that there are these parallel realities in terms of our own individual lives. Not just like, okay, there's another Earth somewhere, but rather there's another version of ourself. So I thought, you know, a couple years later when I started hearing about this, I sort of put it into perspective, that must be what it is, and filed it away. Because I thought, well, if I'm, you know, I've had all sorts of fascinating experiences in my life, and I just sort of allow them to come. I don't try to, you know, force anything. Okay, so fast forward a number of years, I'm in the process of divorcing, I'm separated, and I'm having lunch with my kids. And I started talking to them about their grandfather, my father, who had passed away a couple of years before. And I'm going through this transformation myself. Anyway, I started talking about how my father had designed several of the houses I grew up in, including like this really nice one in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I had some pictures of that or if I could show them what it looked like? And then I thought, oh my goodness, in this age of technology, you know, I can go to Google Earth and see the street view of it. And I had to kind of remember what the address was. I lived there from age seven to age 15. Anyway, I found it, and then I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder if the house was sold recently, and there are some pictures of the exterior as well as the interior. So I Googled that, and I found that this couple had bought the house a couple of years before, a couple of attorneys, and there were photos, so I could show my boys what their father had designed. And of course, there were aspects of it that looked different, but it was fun, and you know, it was this lighthearted moment. Look what your grandpa did. And then I felt this connection to my father who had passed. And then something strange happened to me because all of a sudden I was overcome by this terrible, oppressive grief. Grief about ever having left Lincoln, Nebraska. Which I thought was strange because I have no desire to go back there. And yet, when I was living there, I was very plugged in socially. Both my brothers were there at the university. When we moved, we left my brothers behind, and I was the only child at home, and, you know, I had clashing with my mother, and I was, I don't know, I'm just, that place for me at that age really fit, and I felt like an outsider when I moved to the Boston area. So anyway, I was grieving ever having left Nebraska, and I thought, this is strange. You know, I need to explore this. I did a little inner work, you know, through meditation. I did some journaling. I went into therapy to talk about it, and the grief was not leaving, which surprised the heck out of me, because I am somebody who's really good at processing these things, at least these days. So I sort of reached out to my guidance, the power that be, the higher self, the quantum field, you know, whatever you want to call it, and said, please help me. Help me to process this. So, fast forward a couple of days. I'm seeing in traffic, stop and go traffic. We have a lot of that here in the Seattle area. And all of a sudden, I not only saw in the vision into this other life, I felt into it. And I saw myself at the same age and stage in that same life in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I could feel into her life and knew things about her. First of all, she had a happy marriage, and I had a very difficult marriage in this life. And her husband had already passed away. She had had children much younger than I did, and so she had grown children and grandchildren. She had a happy life where she liked to garden. She played bridge with her friends, you know, a couple of days a week. And it was a very sort of simple life, and there was this great kernel of happiness. And I felt in on like a vibrational level the difference between her life and my life on this path. And on this path, I realized that the struggle, you know, having faced cancer in my 20s, having been in a difficult marriage, having changed my career a couple of times, that the struggles and the difficulties have actually served me. And one of the reasons my soul is focusing here is because it is the path of great expansion. It's like that simple life is beautiful and happy, and the unhappiness and the difficulties are leading to a much greater soul expansion. And in that moment, that comparison that felt like this not only emotional and intellectual, rational thing, it was vibrational. In that moment, the grief disappeared completely.
Yes. Christine, this is fascinating. Did you also feel, as you had this very clear vision of that parallel self with a different life story again in Lincoln, Nebraska, did you also feel that in a sense you could leave aside regret over a life not lived because you are living it, you have been living it somewhere else? In a sense, you have it all. You have the life that you have with the challenges it's thrown at you and the triumph that's come from that and the strength that's come from that. But you also have a parallel life, as I hear it, where things were done in a different way and things were happy in different ways. And in a sense, you don't have to regret not having had that life because in a parallel reality, you are having it. Does that make sense? Is that consoling
Absolutely.
In any way?
Yes, and in fact, I've come to those terms on a deep level. Even if I haven't seen like the parallel lives, I've had a sense of it with a friendship that's lost. Things where I feel like I've lost something, and yet I also tune in and know that it still exists on a parallel path. And so there is some fulfillment and ease that is generated by that knowingness.
Yes. I help people to look at these parallel lives and come to some kind of closure. Sometimes I look at the parallel lives and there's really no judgment about whether it's better or worse. It's a different series of life choices. Interesting to know about it. But at the end of that visit to that parallel life, they think, okay, fine, I don't have to regret a particular choice I made. I've seen how it came out. My life is different. It's not necessarily better. It's not necessarily worse. Sometimes the parallel self has accomplished things in a personal way, or professional way, or a creative way, which you'd like to have in your present life. And then the question becomes, well, wait a minute. Instead of regretting that I didn't become the artist when I was a teenager and stay on that track and become a great artist, maybe I can pull some of that creativity into my present life. Maybe I can borrow, with permission, hopefully, from my parallel self, some of the things that she or he has learnt and accomplished and bring them together in my present life. Maybe it's even possible to navigate some kind of convergence with some elements in the story of a parallel self who's been going her own way in terms that might seem to be successful to me. So there are so many variations on this theme. It's fascinating to look at. It's fascinating to understand, study for its own right. As science is now beginning to accept almost as an emerging consensus in physics that this whole theory of parallel worlds and therefore parallel lives is more probable than not. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the state of science in relation to confirming what you and I are talking about, and that will also bring it home to everybody listening. But we're not talking New Age soap bubbles here. We're talking about what is an emerging consensus in leading-edge physics. So here, the science of consciousness, the practice of consciousness and physics come together. Our wonderful guest is Christine Upchurch. She has her own radio show, The Christine Upchurch Show. Her website is christineupchurch.com. Go over there. You'll find yourself walking a path amongst great banks of lavender with all sorts of good things going on. We'll be back after the break. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of the act of dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3 DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo. We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Christine Upchurch. Her website is christineupchurch.com. Go over there. You'll see all sorts of good things, including a possibility of signing up for a free webinar with Christine next month. On that theme, I should mention that you will be able to listen to a free intro call for my new online course for the Shift Network. The name of the course is Dancing with the Bear, and it comes out of my shamanic experiences with a medicine bear that I didn't want to meet originally. Had to go back into some scary dreams in which a giant bear is invading my space. Had to brave up to fear in order to receive the power of healing. So it's a series devoted to the arts of dream healing, active imagination, and deep play. So that's coming up on February the 21st. You should be able to find out about it on my website, mossdreams.com, and the course is at the Shift Network, where I do many things. So we're already immersed in a fascinating conversation about parallel worlds and parallel lives. Christine's given us a couple of indelible personal experiences, which are profoundly inspiring and instructive. I just want to say that the theory of parallel worlds in physics began to surface in the 1960s through the work of a Princeton postgraduate called Hugh Everett, who was not taken seriously by anybody at the time. He was laughed at, he was mocked. He went to work for the Pentagon, became a really hopeless drunk, died rather early, heavy smoking and all of that, and said that his remains should be thrown in the trash because that's all they were worth. So he's not exactly a sort of inspiring figure. However, out of the wreckage of his life and the disappointment of being mocked out of court by his scientific seniors, so to speak, came a theory which today is supported by a majority of leading-edge physicists. It became known as the many-world theory, meaning we live in one of uncountable parallel worlds. Today, it's starting to be called the many-interactive world theory, and this gets very interesting in terms of what Christine has been telling us. The many-interactive world theory, the new phrase, it was coined to suggest that not only are we living in one of maybe limitless parallel worlds, but that they interact, they converge, they collide, they have effect on each other. So, for example, if one of your parallel selves has made different choices, has been really getting into some rough places, and your life comes closer to that parallel self, boom, bang, collision, there might be some really bad stuff coming on. Something like karma, something like a shadow thrown from the activity of a parallel self who has not made wise choices at all. Alternatively, if you find yourself coming close to a parallel self who's made basically good life choices, healthy life choices, so caring about other people, loving choices, creative choices, maybe you will infuse each other's life with some juice and some joy. I know a bit about this, I think, because I follow this consciously. I'm very aware of some of my parallel selves, the ones that I like, who are, for example, like me, creative writers, but in some cases have gone off with a whole series of fantasy novels appealing to young adults as well as adults, which I haven't done yet. And I look at him and I think, that's pretty good stuff. He's a beloved storyteller. Hey, can I borrow some of what he's done? Well, the answer is, yes, I might be able to, but I'd have to work it out in my own time, on my own time track. I can't just sort of hijack his life, his parallel life, that I can be inspired by. So this is an endlessly fertile and fascinating subject, and as we explore this as practitioners of consciousness or as dreamers or students of synchronicity, let's be very clear in our minds that we are doing something that science tells us is more likely than not in terms of theory, that we as the experiencers, the travelers in consciousness, are the ones who can provide the evidence through first-hand experience of what this means on a human level. So, Christine, let's go a little bit over to the past lives, future lives element of the story. Have you been aware so far that you have the ability to revisit a younger Christine on this time track or to visit a future one? Has that happened yet?
It's only happened in sort of meditation where I'm thinking that maybe somehow I'm controlling it, and I'm really hoping to get there because I think that in terms of being able to travel to the younger Christine, that it would allow me to be much more settled into my soul because she had to go through so much trauma. And if I could get back there and assure her that she would be fine, she's supported, and get the message to her that that would somehow help me in my current reality.
that's the heart of the matter. I don't think I would be talking to you on this time track. I don't think I'd be alive on this time track if I had not had amongst my invisible companions, as a lonely, sickly boy in Australia, a friend, a big man, pink face, a lot of white hair, who would turn up and sit on my bed and say to me, "Now, Robert, I know you're sad, I know you're lonely, but you're going to survive, you're going to make it through, keep going. I know you're lonely, but you'll know the love of women and women will love you. I know it's hard for you to tell your dreams and be heard, but one day lots of people will be interested." I'm recalling what happened 25 years ago now, when I started going back consciously to that lonely, sickly Robert who spent half his time in the twilight of sick rooms between the ages of 3 and 11 with double pneumonia 12 times, kept dying and coming back. I went back to him to be the supporter, the sustainer, the cheerleader that he needed. And I believe that we have the ability to do this with consciousness because, as you said at the very beginning, I mean, we're not bound by linear time. And once we understand that, there are a couple of things we can do in relation to these younger selves. We can go back and at the very least we can say mind to mind, "Christine," or whatever the young Christine in Lincoln, Nebraska was called, "I promise you you're going to make it through. Yes, I know it's tough, but I can assure you you will make it through, and these things await for you in life, and it's going to be good. It's going to be fine." You can say that just as I said that to Robert. And there's something else, Christine, which goes very shamanic, which is that sometimes we find we've lost part of that younger self. It's separated out. Life is too cruel, too harsh. So it went somewhere else. Maybe it's actually not back in grandma's house or in that mum's house in Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe it's on the astral realm of the moon or somewhere else because it went away. So if we learn to travel this way, we might be able to link up with a part of our energy and identity that went missing through what shamanic types call soul loss and bring that back into our heart and our body today, and that would be very good for life energy and juice. So this is a skill worth developing, and I know that a practitioner of consciousness like you will be no slouch at developing these skills and thereby bringing them to other people, and we can do a world of good in this way.
It's interesting, Robert, because I do have memories as a young girl interacting with a blonde-haired woman. I used to have brown hair, but these days I've got blonde hair, and she used to, like, I remember her squatting down in front of me and sort of grabbing my hands, and there was something very powerful about her hands, and I think in my current perspective that somehow she was a healer. It was almost like she would hand me a ball that didn't exist, so to speak. And I've never really thought in terms of, well, maybe that was myself. It is something that I think is very powerful, this concept of time travel. And I wonder if we do go back and we can console or support or plant a seed in our young self, then are we going to be jumping from our current life to another parallel life?
This is another fascinating question. Operating mind to mind to sustain that person in their spirit, but not necessarily changing external events. I don't think the problem of jumping from one event track to another really arises. But if you're going to change events in this way, yes, quite possibly you're going to find yourself. You're going to find that self is now on a parallel event track. And how does that work out in terms of who you are and where you are right now? I mean, this is one of the conundrums. I started out by talking about how you can provide mental, emotional, psychic sustenance to the younger self. But when you start changing events in a way that makes a difference, yes, you are splitting worlds. Maybe the split is so slight that it's not going to be really noticeable or important when you get back to your present self. So we're talking to Christine Upchurch. This is the Way of the Dreamer radio show. You're listening to Robert Noss. We'll be back with more of this fascinating conversation after the break, assuming you are still in the world where this conversation is taking place.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Once again, our wonderful guest is Christine Upchurch. You can listen to her own great radio show. Go to her website, ChristineUpchurch.com. You'll find all sorts of goodies, including an invitation to join her for a free webinar next month. Speaking of which, I want to say again, I'm about to launch a new course for the Shift Network, a 7-week course on claiming the powers of dream healing and imagination to heal our mind, body, and soul. Dancing with the Bear, the introductory free call, is next week, February 21st. So you can find out more from, at the Shift Network or at my website, mossdreams.com. Christine, we are so deeply and wonderfully engaged in this theme of the many worlds and the parallel lives. There's something that I've heard you say which really catches my imagination, yet my imagination hasn't quite brought it alive yet. You said something like, there's been one key difference between your experience of past lives and that of the concurrent or parallel lives of yourself, Christine Upchurch. Explain, please.
There has been, and just to explain, the first time I ever experienced a past life, I was in my early 20s. I was hanging out with my husband at the time. We were watching a movie. It was called The Right Stuff. And I was, you know, it's about what the Apollo program. It was something I was just barely interested in, but I was being a good wife and sitting right next to him on the couch as he was watching it. And so I was reading a magazine, and every once in a while I'd look up at the screen. And I looked up at one point, and there was this these men doing these weird things in this weightless environment, and I burst out laughing. And in that instant, I had this memory of being a black man sitting in a musty movie theater, seeing that same theme. And in that instant, I thought it feels really good to be in a young, healthy body. I think I was in my 90s, which seems kind of strange for a black man and in that era to have lasted that long. But, you know, I think I was 93, and I just got this AB comparison. So I was looking out through the eyes of this man at the screen, and I turned to my husband and said, "So, is this a part of the movie or is this actual film footage?" And he said, "This is actual film footage." And I knew on some level that I had watched a newsreel of this back in the 1950s. It's from like 1956, 57, and I was born after that in this life. And so the few times I've had these spontaneous past life memories, I was in that body and experiencing, you know, whatever it was, looking out. The three different times I've had a third time where I've interacted with this Christine Upchurch, another Christine Upchurch, I'm actually looking at her. So it's a difference between being in the person versus being an observer outside of the person, which I don't really understand the mechanics, the mathematics, the science, whatever it is, or, you know, why I would experience it that way, but there has been that key difference.
Yes. So I'm not sure that my mind has closed on your point yet, because when I think about my own relationship with past lives, future lives, and parallel lives, I've had the experience of being in that mind and seemingly in that body. I've had the experience of being an observer, and I've had the experience of going back and forth between them. That applies both to the parallel lives and the past and future lives. So what, just to help my foggy brain, what is the key difference that you find?
The key difference is, instead of being inside the other Christine Upchurch, as I have been with past lives, and looking out through her eyes, I'm actually looking at her. So it's kind of like I'm standing in the room, you know, standing in that kitchen, looking at her, sitting at that kitchen table, smoking that cigarette, And right. It, you know, I felt a lot of what she was experiencing, and I could tell she had less emotional baggage than I had in this life at that time, and I could feel those differences. So I was tuned in with her in that way, and yet I was looking at her. And the three times I've had that kind of conscious experience, it's been the same thing.
Yes. All right. Now I understand. And now I can compare my own experience. I find that if I am consciously exploring these things in a journey or in vision or in that hypnagogic state or in meditation, it's usually, as you say, if it's a parallel self, I'm usually looking at that parallel self as an observer.
Uh-huh.
I might be able to manage a dialogue with them. I might be able to do that, but I'm talking as one personality to another. But in my dreams, in my spontaneous dreams, I quite often find myself absolutely in the situation of a parallel self. And, you know, a parallel self, for example, who stayed with that woman, a parallel self who stayed in another country, a parallel self who's doing different work, a parallel self who's still a best-selling spy novelist, the New York Times best-selling spy novelist back in the 80s, still doing that stuff, writing now very superior historical tales of intrigue, mostly in the darkest part of the mid-20th century, and doing the search associated with that again and again, Christine, in hundreds of dreams. I'm in that situation. I'm right inside it. But that's in the dream. That's in a spontaneous way. That's not in the meditation conscious state. So I hear you and I understand you, but I would say that I have both kinds of experience in relation to parallel life. I'm going to throw a really provocative question at you. Have you yet had the experience of looking at, encountering a parallel life in which you are already dead in this life, in this period of time? Have you had that experience of looking in on or being aware of a Christine who didn't make it to the year 2018 but died some time ago? Has that happened so far?
Well, yes and no. I mean, first of all, in a past life, I went through a dying and death experience.
Yes.
In the current life, I've had this deep understanding that if I had not left statistics, if I had not left getting my doctorate, back in the late 80s, which is something I did in early 1990s, that I was already dead from cancer. It's like I have this knowingness about that. And so I'm quite sure that there was this path where I died before age 40. So have I interacted with it in a fully conscious way? No, but I have this deep sense that that path absolutely exists.
Mm. Well, of course, in terms of the many worlds theory that we discussed earlier, I mean, there are uncountable parallel lives where you and I are both dead before 2018. I mean, I was pronounced clinically dead when I was 3 years old. When I came back, the doctor said with some embarrassment to my parents, "Oh, your boy died and he came back." So there are undoubtedly parallel worlds in which I did not return in any form. I'm sure I was probably stranger after I came back than I was before. And then I was pronounced clinically dead again under surgery for an emergency appendectomy at age 9. I know there are many parallel lives, so I didn't come back from that actually rather wonderful world when I came back remembering in detail. And more recently in my life, I've spent time in a parallel world which is definitely not this world. It's like the afterlife or the interlife. And I'm having a really good time as a scholar, a teacher, a student, ambassador, not bound by the laws of physics, able to profess and learn things like reality creation and communication between the departed and the living. Really good stuff. And able to conjure books out of the thin air, of course, and design his own lifestyle. I rather like his life. So I rather enjoy spending time in the parallel life of when I go there, I don't see him as another figure. I just sort of inhabit his landscape. But I rather enjoy, I must say, going into the situation of a parallel Robert who is having a really good life in a situation that people might call a happy Bardo state, happy afterlife or interlife state. So maybe that's another adventure that is awaiting for you as you continue your own exploration of these limitless paths of adventure and possibility. We're talking to Christine Upchurch. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show. We'll be back for more of this wonderful conversation after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are talking to Christine Upchurch. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show with Robert Moss. Christine, I have to ask you about your sense that there is a benign self, a taller self, or a guide or advisor of you who assists you and encourages you in your important work as a healer. Tell us a little bit about this intelligence or entity.
Well, it's funny because I live on a property now where I know that there's sacred energy here, and I know that there are portals, and I've sensed that there are Native Americans who are living here simultaneously, and there's a hill where the elders gather. Well, at one point in a meditation, I was exploring one of the portals, and I could see that there were these two ethereal white beings, and they were sitting on opposite sides of another stool in the middle, and they communicated to me that that was my seat. And it was kind of like I had a hard time processing it, a hard time accepting it, probably because of my human, like, worthiness issues. But somehow I knew that that I was one of them as well, this tall, white, ethereal being. And it's kind of funny because when I taught healing in various places around the world, I've had people, a couple of different people, mention that, you know, I'm not only 5 feet two, Robert, so I'm not a tall woman. They've mentioned that there are these two really tall beings that stand beside me as I teach.
Well, I'll take all the support I can get.
Yeah, me too.
because it's wonderful to have that sense that you are flanked and protected and advised by a greater power, whatever its exact origin. I mean, Native Americans would regard a tall white being as inherently good and sacred in terms of the native connection. I mean, I'm an Australian. I have no obvious blood genealogy in North America. But when I moved to the edge of Mohawk Indian country, I was called by Narundiwana, a woman of power who lived on this land 250 years ago. That was a master shaman, could travel across time. She called me, and actually she was part of what decided me to change my life and become the dream teacher and healer I became. And it wasn't one of those New Age experiences, Christine. I had to learn the Mohawk language in an archaic form in order to communicate.
So I wish he'd just appeared as a tall figure in white who was standing at my side. I had to work a bit too hard on that. But anyway, I know what it is to be sought out and supported and guided by spirits of the land. It sounds as if you found a good one. Tell us a bit, we're running short of time, but we can still squeeze in great things. Your work involves mind-body healing. Your work involves energy healing and raising people's vibrations. Tell us a little bit about your understanding of how the mind can heal the body.
Well, first of all, healing and transformation of any sort, from my perspective, relates to vibration. And I'm not just talking about the dense vibration of our physical beings and you know, taking action in this realm, but the high-frequency vibration of our minds, of what we're surrounding ourselves with our emotions. So, you know, years ago, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I healed myself of the early stages of cancer when doctors had nothing to offer me. And I used visualization and, I followed my intuitive guidance. And within 2 years, all of my cancerous lesions were gone. And then years later, I started going into energy healing and eventually taught people around the world about that. But really, energy healing, from my perspective, is about interacting with a person's biofield and helping to shift their vibration and train them to a different kind of high-frequency vibration that has this ripple effect. And, you know, it seems kind of out there, but I have been the subject of scientific research, University of Arizona, St. Petersburg University, Bill Tiller's center down in Arizona, to show that working in a person's energy field can affect, you know, their light. It can affect damaged DNA and speed up the healing process of that. It affects low-frequency vibration. There are all sorts of aspects of it where we've been able to scientifically see this connection. But really, it goes beyond that. It's like what I'm teaching these days is about what I call the vibration of change. It's about how to get into that place where we can shift, where we can heal, where we can transform. And it's actually simpler than you might think, but it's all about making certain choices that affect our vibration, our higher frequency vibration that greases the wheels of change.
Okay. Give us an example from your own life or from someone you've worked with.
Okay, well, let me just talk about the confusion that led to this model of that sort of encompasses all approaches to change. You know, when I healed myself back in the late 80s, early 90s, I did a lot of inner work, and I did a lot of visualization. I would visualize light going through my body, being, you know, perfectly well. And in that process, I was getting biopsies every couple of months, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And at one point, I felt so frustrated because I was doing everything that was cutting edge at that point. You know, there weren't a lot of books out there about this. Louise Hay's book was out. The Simontons had written about mind-body connection. Joan Dorosenko. Anyway, I ended up getting very frustrated, and eventually I just started sobbing that, you know, I was doing all the right things, all the inner work, and the cancer was getting worse. And then all of a sudden I sort of let go completely, and I heard, now you get it. Now we can work together. I finally let go. So the combination of mind-body connection and the surrender allowed me to change. Fast forward a decade after I trained in energy healing, I was working on somebody who'd been dragged in by their wife. It was early in my career, so I wasn't sure that I was worthy of facilitating change and being a healer. And this guy had made it clear that he didn't believe in this woo-woo work. Well, he had this amazing healing. And so I was kind of perplexed, like, okay, he didn't believe in it. I didn't believe in it. How did it change? And I understood that it was vibrational in nature. And then ultimately, you know, over the course of my career, I worked with thousands, you know, students, thousands of clients. And I discovered that it really relates to our vibrational relationship with the here and now. And so all these different approaches out there can benefit us if they are helping us to align with the here and now, to embrace what is, to be sort of coming into ease about where we are in our lives. And the more we resist it, the more we step away vibrationally from our current particle form of reality, the less we can actually ride the wave of our potential to positive change.
So you're telling us we have to stay grounded, we need to be in the body, we need to do things that the soft animal of the body enjoys, to quote Mary Oliver. Is that part of what you're...
I would say that being present with the here and now does include being connected with the, with our body. And there are ways of not being connected to your body and also embracing vibrationally what is. So it's really, it's multifaceted, Robert. And yes, being in our body is an important piece of it.
All right. I'll take that. I'm somebody who's never had any trouble getting out of his body, so you'll understand that for me staying in the body has been a bit of a trial. But it's one that I enjoy. It's one that I enjoy succeeding in. So I'm with you. All right. We've been talking to Christine Upchurch. This is the Way of the Dreamer radio show. We'll be back in a moment basically to say thank you and dream on.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, I'm glad you're still in the parallel world where you can hear me and our wonderful guest, Christine Upchurch, today. Christine, thank you for all you shared of your adventures in the many worlds and your adventures in healing. Is there any last thoughts that you have for us?
Well, thank you, Robert. Yes, I think that it's important for us to not get stuck in our minds about these experiences, because really so much of the experience is multidimensional. It relates to the high frequency vibration. It relates to our feeling, our experience on that level. So not to get too caught up in how mind-boggling all of this is, and just allow the experiences as they unfold.
Well said. All of this to me is about becoming citizens, full citizens of the multidimensional universe. That's what it's all about, being able to operate on several levels of consciousness at once, being able to walk in more than one world without vertigo or confusion. We've been listening to Christine Upchurch. Her website is easy to find, christineupchurch.com. And hop over to mossdreams.com, my website, for all the new programs and adventures I am leading, including that new online course for the Shift Network. All right, we're out of TikTok time. Here's the dreamer's wish. May your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.
The first South Bay Natural Health Fair is coming. Meet 20 natural health doctors and practitioners from your neighborhood. The Natural Health Fair is at the Redondo